Welcome to Bible Adventures. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.
Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus is Lord of all. No sin is too big, no problem too small. Jesus is Lord of all.
Every year before a new sports season starts, some players move from one team to another. Coaches are replaced and rules are changed for the code of the sport. The news of such things fill the back pages of many newspapers around the world. But such things aren't new. King Solomon, living back in the era of 1000 BC, spoke of these things in Ecclesiastes chapter 1. He said, "What has happened before will happen again. What has been done before will be done again. There is nothing new in the whole world." The older we get, the more we see that Solomon was right, and at least as far as human behavior is concerned, we must agree. In today's Bible adventure, the teams of missionary workers at Antioch Church were changing at around the time of 50 AD. The most senior members of the first missionary team didn't want a certain junior member to be in his team again.
Barnabas, you and I have been through a lot together.
Some unpleasant things, but more good, wonderful blessings.
Don't you think it's about time to start having some more experiences?
I know what you're going to say.
Well, we've been here in Antioch a long time, ever since we got back from the council in Jerusalem.
You need not try to persuade me, Paul. I'm of the same opinion. It is time we revisited the churches we started. The new believers may need help and encouragement.
When should we start?
As soon as we can. But I think the work is going to be so heavy, we should take someone with us.
Well, I have no objection.
I'd like to take John Mark.
You remember, of course, what happened when we took him before. He couldn't take the hardships and left us, went to the comforts of his home in Jerusalem.
I realize all that, Paul. But Mark is older. He's developed his Christian experience since then. I'm sure he can be depended upon now.
See who that is, will you, son?
Greetings, Timothy, my son.
Greetings, Paul, sir. Come in. Mother's here.
Thank you. Greetings, madam. May God grant you peace and bless your home.
We're so happy to see you. Timothy, if you accept Paul's invitation to go along and help, you're taking on a great responsibility. Your work will be sacred, whether you are cleaning Paul's sandals or preaching to multitudes. It is God's work. You will have to forget self and think only of the cross. Jesus nailed to the cross. Salvation by way of the cross. Lift up the cross of Christ high and still higher and still higher. For only by preaching salvation by Jesus on the cross will your labor as a minister be successful. Paul once said, "God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ."
We worship the God of mercy. He is the one who gives second chances. But how many of us are just like John Mark, failing in our first attempt to do something new, but coming through committed and doing a good work in the end? The best way to have a good new season is to commit every part of it, every moment of it, to our Creator God. Even if last year turned out badly in some aspects, He will have us a fresh start, if only we'll come to Him. We need to ask for His and others' forgiveness, praying for the indwelling power and wisdom from His Holy Spirit. We must humble ourselves under God's direction and leadership. In Acts chapter 15, Paul indicated to Barnabas that it had been some time since they had established the new churches in Cyprus and Galatia, and suggested that they should go back to see how these churches were getting along. Barnabas agreed and wanted to take his relative John Mark with them again. But Paul didn't want to take John Mark because he had deserted the team on their first missionary journey. A sharp disagreement between Paul and Barnabas took place. Although Paul and Barnabas had been traveling companions for at least a year, it's sad to see that this issue weakened their friendship to the point where neither man would give in. So they decided to have two missionary trips, one with Barnabas taking John Mark to Cyprus, where Barnabas had been born, and the other with Paul taking Silas to the city of Derbe, which was in the region where Paul had been born. John Mark's spiritual development had grown over the years. He became a mature and effective disciple and later joined Peter, gaining from Peter much of the material for the Gospel of Mark, which he wrote. Eventually, Paul's opinion of Mark changed as time passed. Some years later, Mark became one of Paul's closest co-workers. In the meantime, Paul led the other missionary team with Silas, and they went overland through Syria, around the Mediterranean Sea, and then west to the city of Derbe. This was the start of Paul's second missionary journey, which continued throughout the years of 49 AD to 51 AD. Given the disagreement between Paul and Barnabas, we need to ask, how should Christians settle disputes? Rather than getting angry and offended, the Bible says to calmly listen to what the other person has to say and to their point of view. Then be a person of peace. If you're in the wrong, admit it and apologize it to the other. Try to set things right if possible and quickly. But as we can see in this dispute between Paul and Barnabas, there is often no completely wrong side or totally right side for the disputes that Christians can have. In the case of Paul and Barnabas, these two men agreed to disagree and each went their own way, still fulfilling the visits needed to be made to the newly established churches. Paul and Silas moved to Lystra, and they met a young disciple named Timothy. His mother was a Jewish believer and his father was a Greek. Timothy joined Paul's team and travelled with them. Paul shared with him the three principles for the Gentiles to follow that had been given by the Jerusalem Council. The men could see the churches being strengthened and increasing in number daily. As Paul and Silas had been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach in the Asian region of central present-day Turkey, they travelled on until they came to the west coast port of Troas. While there, Paul received a vision of a man saying to them, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Macedonia was a northern province of Greece, and its main cities were Philippi and Thessalonica. God's plan was that the gospel would first spread across Europe and then throughout the Roman Empire. At Troas, a doctor called Luke joined Paul and went with him to Macedonia. They arrived at the city of Philippi, a major Roman colony, where they found that there was no Jewish synagogue, as there had to be at least 10 Jewish men living in a place before they could start one. When the Sabbath Saturday came, Paul's team went to the riverbank outside the city to meet with a small number of people who worshipped the one true God. Paul preached Christ to that small group, and one of the women, named Lydia, put her faith in Christ. Lydia was a well-to-do businesswoman and invited the team to her house to stay. Her friendliness and hospitality helped the church get started in that city. What is the best way to make new friends? Be friendly. This is one of a number of important things for churches today to remember. Whatever size the congregation of a church might be, visitors usually seek a friendly welcome from someone going there. If visitors come in and no one speaks to them, they often don't feel valued or connected with anyone, and they might not come again. When the service is over, regular attendees have an opportunity to look out for those who may seem alone or look lonely. Although a worship service is primarily a time of worship and praise to God, people also attend to learn from God's Word and to find some kind of service that will benefit others, either in the church itself or in some community project that the church has organized. In larger churches, there are often planned age group activities, and these can be a good place for meeting others of a similar age and to form lasting friendships. However, when looking for a church to attend regularly, a Christian must first look at the church's beliefs and priorities. No matter how good it is to fellowship with friends, if false doctrine or church tradition become evident and overshadow the truths of the Bible, it's time to ask God for guidance on how to respond. In some cases, it may be a point in time where the Holy Spirit directs a Christian to move to another church. The Bible must be taught truthfully under God's authority and be explained without error. While Jesus Christ is to be preached and followed first and foremost above all church traditions, responsibility, and decisions. Genuine ministry for Christ is not for the faint-hearted or pretenders. Paul and his team walked up and down mountains carrying their belongings on their backs. On their first missionary journey, they encountered trials and persecution, slander and mistreatment. But in spite of these things, they didn't lose heart or talk about giving up. Nor did they say that the price of saving souls was too great for them to bear. On their second missionary journey, Paul and his team travelled through cities with no mention of persecution until they reached Greece. On their second trip, they travelled twice as far as they had done on the first one. Paul didn't allow himself to be sidetracked from the main purpose of preaching Christ to all who would listen. This is something we believers need to remember too. Many people waste their lives on unimportant things. They major on the minors, and they have no clear heavenly kingdom focus or objective in mind. But God tells us what should be the primary goal of every believer. In Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 and 24, God himself says, "Let not the wise man gloat in his wisdom, or the mighty man in his might, or the rich man in his riches. Let them boast in this alone, that they truly know me and understand that I am the Lord, who is just and righteous, whose love is unfailing, and that I delight in these things. I, the Lord, have spoken." Jesus affirms this when he taught that we must love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and then love our neighbor as ourselves. If we can get our priorities straight in this area, everything else will come together. All the commandments of God will become a natural outflow of our commitment to him. And our love for God, which is an outpouring of the Holy Spirit within us, is the basis for us being obedient and loyal to him. In loving and intimately knowing God, we'll naturally want to walk with him, commune with him, and do the things that he shows us please him. Have you ever thought about what your highest priority is in life? Is it to know God and to boast only in what Christ has done? Our lives may face setbacks from time to time. It's easy to let hindrances take center stage in our lives so that we achieve very little for the Lord Jesus. God wants us to keep growing spiritually, but such growth doesn't happen automatically. Some believers are held back by being sick often. Others may suffer from financial worries or are stressed by family matters or personal failures. Doctors have said that worry, fear, and anger are the greatest causes of disease. If we have a spirit-guided faith, we don't need to worry about a thing. We can accept that God is in control of this world and our circumstances, and we desire that he receives the glory for all that he is accomplishing on earth and in the spiritual realms. One of the marks of spiritual maturity is a quiet confidence that God knows what he's doing. This brings freedom from the pressure of trying to understand why God does what he does. Yet God himself says his ways are unsearchable, and he always does what is right. God is so great that he uses even the hindrances in our lives for good purposes as we trust him to do so. We mustn't react to a hindrance in self-pity and frustration. Instead, let it deepen our hold onto Christ. Everything can be used for a higher purpose with the help and grace of God. In Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, it says, "You, Lord, keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you." The drama is from the Bible in Living Sound. You can also contact us through our website, www.bibleradio.org.au. Those addresses again, and the website, bibleradio.org.au. We're looking forward to hearing from you. You've been listening to Bible Adventures, and I hope you'll join me again next time. Jesus.